Hello everyone. You're very welcome along on this latest audio walk from Open Country with me, Tom. You join me on the beautifully peaceful banks of Leighton Reservoir. It's situated in a quiet little dale known as Colsterdale, which is in the northern part of the Nidderdale National Landscape. Apart from the tittering of the birds in the trees and the odd cry of a pheasant, I'm surrounded by beautiful silence. Our walk today is going to take us along the banks of Leighton Reservoir, further up the valley to its sibling, Roundhill Reservoir. The construction of these two bodies of water was to play a really important role in this area's social history, as we'll discover. From there, we'll join the route of the Six Dales Trail, a 38-mile walk between Otley in Wharfdale and Middleham, not too far from here, in Wensleydale. From there, we'll climb up onto the hills above the reservoirs and discover a monument dedicated to a remarkable group of people. There's some dappled cloud around, but that's being framed by large patches of blue. And as I speak, the sun is coming out and catching the autumn-coloured leaves that are adorning the trees surrounding me. It's giving me a really good feeling about today's walk. So let's put our best foot forward as we go in search of history, nature, and anything else that we can find as we explore Roundhill Reservoir, Leighton Reservoir, and the Leeds Powells Memorial. We're now walking along Roundhill Reservoir Dam. For the moment, anyway, we've left Leighton Reservoir in the autumn valley below, although I can still see some of the reflections on the water glinting through the gaps in the trees. We've walked up quite a steep farm track through fields of sheep, and now as we hit the dam, it's plateaued out, and the water of Roundhill Reservoir is stretching out in front of me, up towards the moors, which are bleak and brooding in the distance. In front of me is the impressive stone-built pumping house from Roundhill Reservoir, with a large commemorative stone at its centre, saying it commenced in 1903 and was completed in 1911. It was actually commissioned by the Harrogate district and was completed before Leighton Reservoir, which sits below us, which was commissioned by the Leeds district. And that wasn't completed until 1926. These large stone blocks that construct the dam wall and also the pumping station are absolutely huge and hewn from the local area. As you look along the moors surrounding us, you can often see these little craggy quarry areas which would have been used to get the stone to build these impressive structures. On the moors just in front of us, we can just about make out the top of what's known as Colsterdale Towers. It's actually two towers joined at the top, but it looks like some kind of alien structure has landed on the moor. Although it doesn't have very much significance today other than standing out on the local landscape for everybody to see, it once had a very practical purpose. Known as sighting towers, towers like these would have been used in experiments to triangulate the land in order to construct channels for water and aqueducts that would ferry the water to and from the reservoirs. We're now about halfway along the southern edge of Roundhill Reservoir. And as it's been said before, the silence is absolutely deafening. Apart from the glugging of water lapping up underneath the bridge that I'm currently standing on, and the echo of the sound of jackdaws bouncing around this amphitheatre-shaped valley, there's hardly any sound at all. Just to my left, I can make out another tower on a hill perched just below the horizon. It's known as Arngill Tower, and it was just built as a folly by the landowner, John Foss, way back in 1824. I'm reliably informed that if you walk up to it, then you can wander in through one of the arched doorways and find a fireplace in one of the walls. I'm sure it's a popular spot for wild campers and people in search of adventure. Although we're in search of adventure today, we're probably not going to be able to walk that far off route, as we've got other things to see and do. It's another really interesting feature of this landscape that just keeps on giving. As I'm walking up towards the head of Roundhill Reservoir, I think I've just scared off a flock of geese and probably sped up their migration south for the winter. We're now standing above two waterfalls, which are careering water from Agill Dam to our left, down into Roundhill Reservoir to our right. All this water is being channeled down from the surrounding hills, and you never know, one day it might turn up coming out of our taps at home. We're now going to leave the reservoirs behind as we start pressing on uphill and join the undulating track of the Six Dales Trail. Ah, this part of the route is looking very familiar indeed. I actually walked the Six Dales Trail from start to finish a couple of months ago. Although back then it was the height of summer, and the paths today are a little bit boggier and squelchier than I remember as we head through autumn towards winter. It's nice to pause and catch my breath as we climb up the hill away from the reservoirs. We've got a fantastic view over Colsterdale Towers on the other side of the moor. And the reservoir, which seemed vast when we were down on the banks of it, now looks like a little puddle. We've also got the trees that are lining the bottom of the valley, some of them still clinging on to their autumn-coloured leaves, and others are bearing the skeletal vibe of winter. It's also nice to pause in a cooling breeze, because although we are in the middle of autumn here, it's actually amazingly mild, which for this time of year is quite remarkable indeed. Here we go, another squelchy muddy puddle, which I'm just going to have to go straight through, I think, to this gate on the other side. To be honest, when my surroundings are as spectacular as they are today, I don't mind going through a bit of mud on these walks. This section of the route is quite undulating as we go through a series of valleys, all tributaries heading down towards the River Yore in Wensleydale, a stone's throw from where we are at the moment. And across the plateau that sits between Wensleydale and the North York Moors beyond, there's little droplets of light eking their way through a big cloud bank and illuminating the green, oranges and browns of the autumn Yorkshire Dales landscape. On the far horizon, I can make out the distinctive shape of Rosebery Topping, a pointed hill in the Cleveland Hills that overlooks the Middlesbrough and Teesside area. I can't see the white horse today, but I know it's just hiding behind the hill in front of me. You never know, as we make our way across this next little tributary valley, we might be able to get a view across to it from the other side. Well, after wading through decaying bracken, snarling around my ankles, and then over a stream, along a rickety bridge, and then up through a rather dense patch of coniferous woodland, we've made it to our next peaceful promontory. I can't actually see the white horse. I think the cloud is a little bit too dense. Although in the valley, every so often, as these pockets of light continue to drift across the landscape, I have made out the outline of Ripon Cathedral glowing in the valley below. The Colsterdale Towers seem to be a constant reminder of where I am within the landscape, as they seem to follow me around no matter where I am on this walk. And just following the ridgeline of the moor along from there, I can see the wood that is hiding another little gem known as the Druid's Temple. It's actually a folly that was built during the 1700s. It was obviously modelled on something along the lines of Stonehenge, with various different standing stones and an altar made of stone at the centre. It was actually constructed at the time of William Danby, overseeing the Swinton estate, which it remains a part of to this day. So as the sun bathes us once again in this glorious, warm, autumnal light, we're going to head over what looks like a rather rickety stile and head towards the Leeds Pals Memorial Cairn, which I must admit I'm rather excited to have a look at. As we make our way down off our final hill and back into Colsterdale, there's a patch of land over to our left known as Breary Banks. To all intents and purposes, it just looks like another field, not unlike the ones that we've been walking through on our walk today. But this patch of land holds a very special place in this area's history. During the construction of Leighton Reservoir, a village was built here to house its workers and their families. At the height of the village and the construction of the reservoir, over 700 people were living here, so it wasn't just a place for people to live, it became a thriving community. After the outbreak of the First World War, the village was to take on a whole new lease of life. On the 3rd of December 1914, a recruitment drive was started in the not-too-far-away city of Leeds to recruit people who worked and lived alongside each other. These battalions soon became known as the Pals Battalions, and this one in particular was the Leeds Pals. During the recruitment drive, over 1,200 men signed up to the Leeds Pals Battalion, which meant that they needed somewhere to house and train all of these people. So what better place than a remote valley just off the side of the Yorkshire Dales, where there was already a camp constructed and ready to go? So the land around us became home to the Leeds Powells before, first of all, they were shipped off to Egypt to defend the Suez Canal, and then fatefully, in July of 1916, they returned via France and took part in one of the bloodiest battles of World War I, the Battle of the Somme. Unfortunately, it was here where the majority of these men perished, never to return again. After the Leeds Powells left Breary Banks for Egypt, the land was actually still used as a camp to train more troops, and towards the end of the war, it was even used to house German prisoners of war. After the war, the families of the people who were involved with the Leeds Powells decided to put a bit of money aside to erect this brilliant monument that I'm currently standing alongside. It's a pillar of stone that is stretching into the sky in front of me, with a large plaque commemorating the soldiers that fought as part of the Leeds Powells. It was unveiled on the 28th of September 1935, and still stands here today as a testament to the courage of these incredible brave men. We're now walking back along the banks of Leighton Reservoir, which is once again glinting in that lovely autumn sunshine. I feel like we've come full circle, both physically and metaphorically. If this large body of water hadn't have been built, neither would the village that housed the Leeds Powells. I always find it interesting that as a human race, we always seem intent on sculpting the landscape around us. But I think we often disregard the fact that the landscape actually sculpts our lives as well. If this land hadn't have been ripe for building a reservoir, then the local history, I'm sure, would have turned out very differently. I can't help but think of the sacrifice that those young men made, and I don't think it's just the cairn that stands as testament to their courage. I think it's everything that we've encountered on our walk today, this land that they fought to protect. It kind of puts the mud and rickety stiles into perspective, really, doesn't it? It's been an absolute privilege to bring this audio walk to you today. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it as much as I've enjoyed recording it. If you have, then please check out more of our audio walks at opencountry.org.uk and search for us at Open Country Yorkshire on YouTube as well. But until the next audio walk, thank you ever so much for listening. It's goodbye from me.